4 of Zechariah. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 4. Don't mess with me, Frank. I use you as an example tonight. Zechariah chapter 4. And let's just pray before we get into the Word. Father, right now, I just thank You for Your Word. First of all, Lord, I thank You that it's alive. And that means when we read it tonight, we preach it tonight, we hear it tonight, that it has the ability to come into our hearts and to open up the world to us, open up everything of the Spirit to us, open up everything that You desire for us to know, Lord. And so I thank You right now by the power of Your Spirit, Lord. You just anoint this Word that comes out of my mouth to be Your words and not my words. Words of power, words of faith, words of assurance unto the hearers, Lord, that Jesus, You're in charge and You're in control. So I thank You for it, Lord, and I praise You for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Zechariah 4:1 says, "Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, 'What do you see?' So I said, 'I'm looking, and there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps.'" Now, how many of y'all have seen a Jewish menorah, you know, that has that's what he's talking about. That's what he's seeing. Got to remember in the old days, you know, it's kind of funny because we stick a candle in everything, right? Make a candelabra out of it, right? But in those days, they were lamps that had little bowls that had oil in it that had a wick on it. And then you lit it, and that's how it burned, right? Okay, verse 3. "And two olive trees are by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on the left. So I answered, and he spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, 'What are these, my Lord?' And the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, 'Do you not know what these are?'" Now stop right there. Isn't it kind of interesting that the angel shows him something in a vision, but then he turns right around and says, "You don't know what that is?" So then, in other words, I mean, my interpretation of it is then the angel was expecting Zechariah to know what he was seeing. Now, you know, if it had been me, I'd have said something really intelligent like, "Well, it looks like a lamp standing two olive trees." Right? I mean, obviously, it's a lamp standing two olive trees is what I'm seeing. But the angel was speaking to him. And so you find this a lot in scriptures because angels are in heaven. They know everything that's going on. They see everything by the Spirit. But then when they're on earth and talk to us, they're really kind of shocked that we're as stupid as we are, to put it bluntly. You know, the angel appears to Gideon and says, "Hail, you know, mighty man of God, thou art highly favored." And he's like, "What?" He says that to Mary. "Mary, highly favored of the Lord." And they're like, "What?" And they're like, "You don't know that?" Right? Because, see, they're seeing what God's perspective is on the other side, and we're looking at it on this side from the natural side. So their perspective is like, "What's wrong with you? You didn't get this." Y'all with me? You know, it's like, who was the president? Was it Ford? Was he in San Antonio that went to eat the tamale and didn't take the shuck off of it?
Yep.
Was it Ford, right? So you're kind of like saying, "Where are you from? You got to take the shuck off a tamale. What's the matter with you?" I mean, we see a tamale all the time. We don't have any thought about a tamale. Somebody throws a tamale down, unshuck that puppy and eat it, right? It's common sense to us. But if you've never seen a tamale, you might try to say, "Man, this thing's kind of tough. You know, you got a tough skin on it, you know, trying to cut through the shuck, right?" And so it's not like, I mean, we laugh at him and say, "Guy's ignorant," but I guess he never saw a tamale. So you really can't fault the guy. You could fault, if I was him, whoever knew that I was eating dinner there, and his aides or whatever that should have already prepped me and say, oh, by the way, President, if you've never eaten tamale, you need to take the shuck off of it. I would have fired him. Y'all with me? Because he should have been informed. Well, it's the same way with the angel. The angel's coming down, and he's talking with Zechariah, and he's looking and says, don't you know what this means? Well, you know, the whole Bible is full of symbology. When everything, God never does anything that doesn't have a meaning to it. So when God did something, you know, everybody in heaven knew what he was doing. But everybody on earth is looking at it like, what? Because they don't understand the symbology. So the lampstand, it represents the Spirit of God, the seven spirits of God, but more especially the Spirit of God. All right? And the olive trees represents, a lot of times it represents just Jerusalem or the New Jerusalem or the church, but it also represents like the anointing upon it. Are you with me? Like the anointing upon the church or the anointing upon Jerusalem. Like when I started reading my Bible for the very first time in my life, there's a few things that I figured out real quick. Number one is just leave the Jews alone. Pray for them. Pray for the peace of Israel and just leave them alone. Don't worry about it. It's not my business to go in there and figure out why this and this and that and the other are saying anything about it. Just leave them alone. God's chosen people. I don't know why. They are. That's the way it is. Leave them alone. Hold them up. Honor them. Go on down the road. Right? Second thing I figured out pretty quick in life is that, you know, when you read through everything that's in the Old Testament and you're looking at everything that's going on, you know, you can ask, you know, why is this and why is that and whatever, but, you know, Israel is where God chose. No sense arguing about it. It ain't New York. It wasn't San Antonio. It's Israel. It's Jerusalem. Leave it alone, right? Support it. Pray for it. Do what the Bible says for it. That's just the way it is, right? Well, so when you say Israel, you got to look at two types of Israel. You got to look at Israel as Israel, the natural Israel, and Israel, the spiritual Israel, which is God's chosen people, which is inclusive of all the church, right? Okay, now, I'm saying all this to get somewhere. Hang on. So when he saw the vision, he says, I want you to see this. I want you to see the Spirit of God wants to come forth or go forth into the church. Okay, let's read on. Verse 6. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit. My being a capital M, the Spirit of God. Says the Lord of hosts, who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Now he's talking about the building of the temple, everything that they were doing at that time. But can you imagine, Jan, to hear Almighty God say to you, who are you, O mountain, that stands before Jan? You're a plain, because I'm behind you. Wow, what confidence. And you're going to shout, grace, grace. Why grace, grace? Not, yeah, boy, we did it. Not, yee-haw, we're through. He said, you're going to shout, grace, grace. Remember I was talking about on Sunday about grace, the definition that, I don't know if I found it somewhere or I made it up or where it came from. You know, I've preached for so long, I don't even know where I got everything now, whether I came up with it or what, but it's good. You want me to just claim it? I'll claim it. Okay, I did it. God's willingness to use His power and His ability on your behalf. So when you shout it, grace, you're saying, God did it by His power and His ability through a humble vessel like me. Are you following me here? Okay, so isn't it amazing that the angel gets out of, don't you know what this is? It's not going to be by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God that you're going to end up in life making all the plains in life, I mean all the mountains in life, plains before you, and you're going to do it when you finally put the capstone on the top. That's what they finished with. Finally, when the work is finished within you, you're going to shout, grace, grace, God did it, not me. Amen. That's what it's all about. Now, I love it that an angel got that out of seeing a lamp standing two olive trees. It just goes to show you how different the thinking is in heaven and on earth. Right? Because you read through that verse, it's so interesting because it says, don't you know what these are? And he says, no, I don't know. And he says, this is the word of the Lord. And so he goes right into it, explaining him what he was seeing. All right? Okay. Now, if you would, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, Paul's talking to the church at Corinth here about all their bickerings and things that are going on. And let's just start at verse 5. It says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe? As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters anything, but God who gives the increase. Everybody say it's God. Okay. Verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. Another builds on it. Let each one take heed how he builds on it. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, just hold on there. What I want to get to is that, like I was talking about on Sunday, so many times we come in life and we start living our life and we find a relationship with Jesus, we get saved, but then everything that we try to proceed on with in life, we try to do by works. And there is a different thinking in heaven than there is on earth. There's a different mindset of heaven than there is on earth. And the way things are done in heaven is by, not by might, not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has to birth it, build upon it, and make it in your life. Right? Okay. But what we do is we immediately try to, because what we're doing on earth and the way that we live on earth, I mean, we live by works. I'm not talking about in a spiritual sense. I'm just talking about in a natural sense, okay? In other words, if you want to improve your life, then you have to work at it. You want to be more educated, you have to work at it, right? You can't just take a book and put it up by your head and then you're more knowledgeable. You have to read it, you have to study it, you have to grow, you have to develop, you have to look at all those things. And so we do so much on earth by works, we try to carry it over to the things of the Spirit and say, well, we must work at this. So if we pray longer, we'll be more spiritual. Well, I mean, you could be if you were getting it because of a revelation, you're being led by the Spirit. But if you're just doing it to do it, then isn't that a work? I'm going to learn more scriptures so I can memorize more scriptures. So whenever Frankie calls on somebody to pray in Sunday school, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to be able to speak these scriptures. Well, you miss the point. You're doing it by works. You're trying to look better in the eyes of people and not take that living word and just get it down into your heart so that it changes you and makes you a better person. Right? We're not doing it. We're not letting the Spirit of God work in us. We're working. And the Holy Ghost is such a gentleman that he steps aside every time we get involved. It's like digging a post hole. If we pick up the crowbar and we dig, he'll just stop and he'll just get out of the way and say, okay, dig. And he'll stand there until we finally wear ourselves out and are at our wits' end. And then he says, until we finally stop and say, oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, what am I doing? I forgot. I'm trying to make this happen by myself and my strength. And what have I done? Look, I've wore blisters in my hands and I'm tired and I'm wore out and I've just worked and tried to make this better and tried to do this whole thing and it just won't work. And he said, would you like me to work at it now? And then he has the ability by the Holy Ghost to put like a stick of dynamite in it and blow a hole in it and make a hole. But we didn't know that because we only know to do it by works. Right? I have tried to forgive people by works. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, today, Lord, I'm going to forgive so-and-so. And I forgive them. And then I start to say, well, what am I forgiving them for? And I start going back over why I'm mad at them. And then as I begin to go over why I'm mad at them, but then I just become mad about why I'm mad at them. Right? And then before long, I'm just spit flying mad, and I'm madder than I was when I started trying to forgive them. Because what I'm doing is I'm trying to forgive them by words. I'm trying to say, okay, this is a logical thing to do because I know the Bible says that I'm supposed to forgive. So I'm trying to apply that to my life. And so I don't know how to do it by the Spirit, so I just do it by the natural means. You know, and like I said, you have to learn and grow. You have to function in the natural means. But when you carry that over to the Spirit, now it's wrong. It won't work because it's not by might. It's not by power. It's got to be by the Holy Ghost. See what I'm saying? Now, I want to use Maggie as an example. I'll spare you on this in front. Because and I'm not saying this is not, yea, hey, thus saith the Lord, okay? I'm making an example, but when I'm seeing you there, I'm thinking about something. Like, Maggie's had great influence at the state capitol, but it didn't come about because she beat on every door, right? And then she just was there all the time. So finally somebody said, we got to do something with this lady. We, you know, can't take her out back and shoot her, so we might as well listen to her. You see what I'm saying? It happened by the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God told her to do something. But what happens to us if we then carry that over into works and we're just then going to begin to think that we have something to do with it and we're going to make the thing work? When God may be saying, look, I just want you to go walk down the hallways and pray this week. Or I just want you to incognito slip a little anointing oil on your finger and walk by a door and go whoop whoop, you know. Not make some big show, not stand out in a white robe with one of those big family Bibles and beat on it and say, you're going to go to hell, I'm telling you. But then again, maybe. You see, we have to live life to a sensitivity of the Holy Ghost to listen to what is He saying to us. And if we don't live a life by the Spirit of listening to what He's saying to us and say, well, Lord, that doesn't make any sense at all. Why would I want to go do that? Like, let's give you this for instance. The other night, Monday night, I dreamt that I was run over by a train. Well, actually, I didn't dream. Let me back that up. I dreamed that Joseph, he doesn't even told him this, he borrowed my truck and he brought it back, and the truck on the outside looked okay, but the inside, the dash was tore off of it and everything was wrecked and it was just destroyed. And I said to him, what have you done to my truck? And he said, oh, I forgot to tell you, I was hit by a train. And I was like, well, if you were hit by a train, then why didn't it tear up the outside of the truck? And so then I woke up, you know, with the covers all knotted and strangling him, no. And so Tuesday comes, I'm taking off and going to work, and I'm driving down the road in the truck that I dreamed that was hit by a train. And I'm going down the road, and I happened to notice when I came across the tracks in Sabina, they're working on the tracks out there, and there was like, it was the strangest thing. There was a guy standing up on a platform like this, and all the workers were out there, and I was like, what do we got here? You know, it looked like they were holding a rally or something, you know. And I guess it was the guy giving everybody instructions, but it was the strangest looking thing. And all those guys were in their little uniforms and getting ready to go work. And I laughed. I remembered the dream. And I thought, isn't that funny? You know, maybe that's what had something to do with it. You know, maybe I went to sleep that night and I saw that they were working on the railroad. And maybe that just got in my brain. This is what I'm thinking. So then I was in a hurry to get to Uvalde. And I was trying to push to get there at a certain time, but then something came up and it took me away. And then this one came up and it took me away. And I was praying. I said, Lord, I got to get over there. And He just said to me, it's okay. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I don't know how I can be okay. I'm supposed to be there at this time and I'm never going to get there at this time because I've got to stop and do this and this and this. So I was delayed in what I would have done. So I'm driving down the road. And I get to Canepa. Now, y'all just have to forgive me. I mean, you know, I'm just driving down the road. Don't turn me in or go, you know, say, oh, my God. And I'm driving, and I go through Canepa, And I'm just driving down the road, and I, you know, it just picks up to 70 outside before you get over the bridge. And I pick, and I step my speed up to 70 because I'm trying to hurry up and get to where I need to go. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw a train on the track, you know. And so I didn't pay much attention to it. And then I looked up in front of me, and the car in front of me was like slowing down real slow. And I was like, what's wrong with this joker, you know? And so I shifted over into the left-hand lane. And so I'm going, and then all of a sudden I said, wait a minute, that train's coming at me. And it was going on the track over to the mine. And I just blew right through. Lights. And then I noticed, wow, those lights were flashing red. I was supposed to have stopped. Oh, my God. I was almost hit by the train. You know, I dreamed it. I was sidetracked. Everything was whatever. But it was almost like the Holy Ghost had stopped me and said, no, it's okay. And my timing worked at that moment to where I wasn't killed by the train. Now, wouldn't it have just been easier to say, Robert, when you're going through Geneva, the lights are going to be flashing, just stop? I mean, it scared me, you know, because it was like, wow, did I just do something really stupid? But you know, how many times you drive through that there's a train going across over there? You know, once in a great moon. So I hope there's nobody listening to the tape that comes back and gets me. I don't know if there's a... The point I'm trying to say is, see, we think it all out through our heads, and we get into works, and when we get into works by doing even the ministry that Jesus has called us to, when we start doing that ministry, you can get into works doing it and end up sidetracked. Because it's a life of the Spirit. It's not a life of the flesh. Now, he's going on down through here. Some of the foundation Jesus lays, and just look down in verse 14. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be safe, yet so far through fire. Verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now, if we're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in us, when he saw the lampstand and the two olive trees, then he was saying to Zerubbabel, in a sense, grace is coming into your life and you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God is going to be living and dwelling on the inside of you. So you're anointed to overcome everything that's out there, but only because the Spirit of God's in you. Okay? Go to Galatians. Chapter 5, verse 16, Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, what does the law mean? You're not under works. Right? The law represents works, salvation by works. Salvation not meaning just getting to heaven. Salvation meaning your plane, your mountain has gone into a plane and it's all been laid flat. Deliverance is yours. By works. I always think it's funny that the Pharisees were the most works-oriented people there were in the Old Testament and knew more of the Scriptures than anybody knew, yet they gnashed their teeth and screamed, killing! I mean, what an angry, vicious, murderous spirit within these people. If works would have been your salvation, then you most definitely should have been holy and said, oh no, take it, let's love him. But they didn't produce love. Works didn't produce love. Works produced anger. Works didn't produce love. Grace produces love. Because you say, oh my gosh, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there go I. So then if you live a life by the Spirit, you're living a life in grace. And if you're living a life in grace, the Bible says right here that there has fruit from it. Let's read the fruit of the Spirit first, verse 22. There's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's long-suffering. There's kindness, there's goodness, there's faithfulness, there's gentleness, there's self-control. So if you're living a life based upon the fruit of the Spirit, or based upon a life in the Spirit, there's going to be fruit just produces from it. So then, like I've talked with Bruce a lot of times, you can discipline yourself to not drink, but you'll always be an addict. Right? Or you can go and be set free by the Spirit of God and totally delivered of it and live a life in grace, and you're no longer an addict because you've been delivered. But if you do it by works, you're always going to, you may have it under control, but you're still always addicted to it. So you're addicted to anger. You're addicted to hatred. You're addicted to murder. You're addicted to lust. You're addicted to whatever it is. If you just because you stopped it didn't mean you're free. Right? But he's saying if you live a life in the Spirit, because you're not doing it by the flesh, you're doing it by the Spirit, you're living a life in grace, and it's going to produce in your life love, joy, peace, patience or long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, look back up at the other one. Look at verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, and revelries. Revelries. And the like. So it's saying anything that's kind of like that. Right? That's producing a fruit of walking by works in the flesh. Isn't that right? So then the only way you're going to walk by the Spirit is you got to learn that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit. And there has to be a surrender of your life to the Holy Spirit. You can't walk and live a life in the Spirit unless you're going to surrender to the Holy Spirit. And you know what happens it means when you surrender to the Holy Spirit? You lose. And right there is where why most people don't want to live a life in the Spirit, because they don't want to give up pride, because they want to do what they want to do. And they want to do it how they want to do it. And they want to do it by what they think. And then the ultimate twist to it all, when they're trying to do what they think, is they say, well, God told me. And then you can't argue with that, because who are you to say if God told them or not? And all I have to do to know if God's speaking to you is look at the fruit that's being born from your life. And if there's no fruit that's being born that looks like the Spirit in your life, then I have to say, well, I don't know what God told you, but I don't think it was the one who bears this fruit. I've had that pulled on me so many times in life. People will be talking, well, God told me to leave my wife. And I said, well, that's not scriptural. I know, but I heard God say. Because they think if they say God said it to them, then who am I to argue with them? Because they really just want to do what they want to do. Right? So it was all just a work of the flesh. Because it goes back to that same old stinking religious spirit that was in the Pharisees. They would scream, kill him, murder him, we hate him. Well, right there, hatred. Fruit of the flesh. Murder. Fruit of the flesh. Jealousy. Fruit of the flesh. Right? So, I mean, if you'd have had the scriptures today, you could have pulled it out and said, well, I don't know, Galatians 5, let's see, 19 says, that's a fruit of the flesh. You're of the flesh. But see, they didn't believe it, because they said, how could God do this in us by simply grace and you not having to work as hard as you could to do it yourself? And I'm like, I don't really know, but I just know that it works. I can't explain to you what spiritually happens. I just know it does. Just like I can't really explain to you how you get saved. I can tell you, you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, but I can't really say how it happened, but boom, all of a sudden it just happened. All of a sudden I was walking in darkness, and now I'm walking in light. All of a sudden I was in the kingdom of darkness, now I'm in the kingdom of light. I don't really understand how it happens, but I just know that I can look into somebody's eyes that it's happened to and say, "How'd that happen to you?" This is terrible, but it's just another list of the things that I've done in life. I used to love to go in Christian bookstores and walk around and just get around people and just look at what they were buying or whatever and then guess if they were Methodist or Baptist or Catholic or whatever. Because what happens is you can get indoctrinated in a certain denomination, you start, they don't even know it, but they start to dress the same and act the same and talk the same lingo and same whatever. And you just say, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden you hear something over here, it's kind of loud. It's, oh, that's Pentecostal over there. Okay. You know? And so I just walk around there and I would wait. And if you'd stand around a little bit and they'd say, oh, what church do you go to? And they said, well, I go to the, you know, First United Methodist Church, or I go to the First Baptist Church, or I go to the church. And I was like, yeah, got that one right, you know? And isn't that terrible that we would form to a denomination and not form to the likeness of Jesus? And it's the strangest thing. And sometimes in people that you would think the least have the least knowledge of Jesus can sometimes just have the most amazing attribute of Christ in them. I'm like, wow. That was amazing what I just saw that person do. Now, you know, may have one place in the life that's right and 99% of the other is not right, but you see something like that. It's amazing. Because for once, you know, in whatever, they heard the Spirit of God and they moved by the Spirit of God. You know? We have to learn that. We have to learn that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And we've got to stand in grace and say, Holy Ghost, you've got to help me through this. You have to help me to understand, what do I really need to do? What do I need to do, or what do I need to stop doing? I remember, you know, years ago when the Holy Ghost was working on my character and some issues, and I'll admit it, I used to embellish stories. I'm from Texas. So if somebody said, how big was the buck? He was this big. You know, how many does did you kill? Well, more than my limit. Could have filled them up. How many were there? The sky was black. Right? My father would say, how many cows were out on the road? The whole herd was out. You know, could have been 5 or 6. Okay? So, you know, that's the way I just grew up. I just always embellished. And after I got to serving the Lord and, you know, and started listening to the Spirit, one day the Holy Ghost said, would you quit it? Because you're lying. And what had happened to me was I carried it right on over and I'd say, we'd go to the jails and preach at Sunday, and they'd say, how many people got saved? And I'd say, man, it was amazing. It was like everybody in there got saved. Well, it was 2 of 20. But I embellished, made it sound a little better. And the Holy Ghost took me through a whole series of things, which doesn't have anything to do with the message tonight, but just a whole series of things in my life why I embellished stories. And I quit. And from then on, if one got saved, one got saved. If nobody got saved, nobody got saved. And I started learning in life to never, ever exaggerate.
But it took a work of the Holy Ghost. Right? I couldn't have done it on my own and said, okay, now let's just tell the truth, Robert. We're not going to say that. That would have been by works. And I would have still been desiring to exaggerate a story. But today I don't really care. I'm going to say it like it is, and that's it. Because He changed it in me. He delivered me, set me free. Right? I've even caught myself, you know, like now it's funny because now it's like, you know, somebody said, well, how bad was it? And I could have said, it was terrible. But I said, well, you know, we got it done. Don't worry about it. But it had to be a work of the Holy Ghost. And that's not going to happen here in life unless we realize that it can't be by our strength. And we have to set pride aside. We have to kill pride and let the Holy Ghost work in us. And we have to stand up there and say, I don't know how to do it. I can't do it. How do I do it, Holy Ghost? Can you show me what to do? Tell me what to do because I don't know what to do. And then the moment you start living life like that, all of a sudden you're going to live a life of victory. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes the road that the Holy Ghost leads us down, it's not really pleasant. Because it means that we're not doing it by the flesh. To live in the flesh is easy. Phew, anybody can live in the flesh. Right? It's a natural thing. It's the Adamic nature within each and every one of us. We're made out of dirt. We want to live in the flesh? Man, we can do that. To be nice when you don't want to be nice? Right? So let's just remember, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. Amen? And you are the temple of God, so the Spirit of God's in you. Just get out of the way and let Him work. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God.